We return now to the Gospel of Matthew. We've spent several weeks in John chapter 6, which records some of the events around this time in the Gospel of Matthew that Matthew did not record. So we have a full picture in the Gospels, and I would like to say one thing about that. This week, those of you saw an article in the Baton Rouge paper in the religion page that stated that Jesus' words in the New Testament were edited. In other words, many of the words that are in the New Testament that were supposedly said by Jesus were not really said by Jesus. And I want to say to you that those who hold that position are the liberal scholars in our seminaries and universities who believe that it is impossible. This is their presupposition now, that it is impossible for the Word of God to have recorded accurately the words and deeds of Jesus. That it is impossible for the disciples of Jesus to have observed what he did and heard what he said and record accurately what he said and did. So as they approach the scriptures, they believe that they are not really true necessarily to begin with. The problem is they pick and choose what they want to believe from it to support their own preconceived beliefs. What we actually have is a New Testament that has thousands and thousands of manuscripts that testify that we have as originally written the very documents that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote. There is no manuscript evidence to the contrary at all. This is entirely speculation in the minds of scholars. Jesus said in the Gospel of John to his disciples, "I will bring to your remembrance the things that I said." So that the apostles had a promise from Jesus Christ of supernatural help to record accurately the things he did and said. But if you don't believe that to begin with, you will come out on the other end. If you have that paper from yesterday, I encourage you to read it. Encourage you to read it and see what so many teachers and pastors today actually believe about the Bible, or rather don't believe about it. And then come to the scriptures yourself and decide one thing. What do I think of Christ? If he rose from the dead, as he said he did, he certainly has the power to cause his disciples to remember the things he said. And there is no evidence in any kind of historical way to the contrary of any of these things he said or did. It's all speculation in men's minds who do not want to believe the truth to begin with. Do not be disturbed by such things. Now I feel ventilated and we can go on to the scripture. Matthew chapter 15. Hear the word of God, and I'm thankful that I can say that to you. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "And why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother.' And he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been korban or given to God.' He is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus, you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. And he called to himself the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. And Peter answered and said to them, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you still also without understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, for these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for your great help through the ages by your providence to keep the records that go back to the very earliest days, so that we can know that these words have been tested and come from the mouths of our Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. We ask that you would help us to depend upon the truthfulness of these words, that they are inspired of God and infallible and without error, as you promised they would be, and that all Scripture is God-breathed, as you promised. We ask that you would help us to learn these words and to build our lives upon them, not as men's opinions, but as the very Word of God which we can depend upon. For there are many times when our own hearts become confused and the opinions of other men are confused, and yet this Word stays the same. So help us to live upon the truthfulness of your Word and to build our lives upon it, that they may not fall and stumble. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke the truth even to his enemies in such a way that it calls every one of us to account for our own lives. Help us this morning to believe in the truths of his death for our sins and his resurrection for our hope, and the truth that he rules heaven and earth today for his glory and our good. Help these things to be a comfort to our hearts as we seek to live this next week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we will be covering the first 9 or 10 verses of this passage and return to this passage again next week. But we come now to Matthew 15, and we pick up a confrontation between our Lord Jesus Christ and the scribes and the Pharisees. The Pharisees came to Jesus, and they had noticed something as they watched his disciples, that his disciples did not always wash their hands when they ate bread. Now, boys and girls, you cannot go home and use this on your parents this afternoon. If they tell you to wash before meals, you have to do that and honor your father and mother. But the Pharisees taught that you were unclean before God and unacceptable to God if you did not wash your hands before every meal. Thus, They had a theology of acceptance with God on the basis of what you do, not on the basis of God's mercy and grace toward you. They had a work salvation instead of a grace salvation. And so they came to Jesus quite disturbed. "Your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat," they said. "And thus you transgress the tradition of the elders," because you see, this commandment was not in the Old Testament, to wash your hands before every meal. This was something the Pharisees invented to make themselves more holy. And so Jesus responded to them very directly in this passage. And he says in verse 8 and 9, quoting from the Old Testament in Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." Jesus said that these Pharisees had a vain kind of worship, a wrong kind of worship. Their idea of worship was wrong. Their idea of their relationship to God was wrong. They invented doctrines and teachings themselves and then taught others to keep these things in order to be right with God. They had an outward worship, but not an inward worship of the heart. They did rightly look upon all of life as worship to God, and we should. Worship is not this worship service. According to Paul, it is this: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your acceptable worship." Worship is everything we do. Living under the eye of God, doing all that we do to and for God, whether we're at work or play or with friends or at church. And they understood that. The Pharisees did, but they understood it wrongly in terms of laws and rules that they invented to make themselves more holy and acceptable to God. True worship is not found in man-made traditions and rituals, or ceremonies to appear spiritual and holy. True worship is found in a heart submission to the clear word of God in all of life, especially God's 10 commandments that are mentioned in this passage. Worship is loving Jesus Christ all the time and keeping his commandments. The Pharisees didn't understand that. The Pharisees followed the tradition of the elders or the rabbis. When the people of Israel were in captivity in Babylon, they no longer had a temple and priest to go down to worship with. So in Babylon, they started Bible studies, which later became synagogues, independent places of worship, like churches. And teachers arose among them to teach them the word of God. And these elders or rabbis took the Old Testament laws and they added laws to them. Some of these laws were called the Mishnah, which are extra laws that the rabbis invented, and they even claim some of them came down from Moses, orally passed from generation to generation. So they wrote down these extra laws and called them the Mishnah. And then, as all good scholars do in seminary, they wrote commentaries on the Mishnah. And the Mishnah commentaries were called the Gemara. And together, the Mishnah and the Gemara make up the Jewish Talmud, which is like another holy book besides the Scripture, which was finally written down in 200 A.D. And this book of the Mishnah and the Gemara, which is the Talmud, has all kinds of laws, extra laws, that God's people are to obey in order to be right with Him and to be holy before Him. The Pharisees were conservative Bible believers and leaders of the synagogue, but they went beyond the teaching of Scripture in order to keep the teaching of Scripture. For instance, they would take a law that one must obey. Some of the laws in the Old Testament said the priests were to wash themselves and to wash their clothing before they went before God, before they offered the sacrifices. And so they decided to make a law that all believers must wash before they come before God. And they fenced the law. They put a fence around the law that no one could cross over that fence and break the law. And then they made the fencing of the law laws themselves. For instance, it became a law you should not wash your hands before you eat, just to make sure that you do not sin against God. Beware those that make new laws for Christians. Today, many make different forms of worship and church activities as the basis for which church to join. People join churches that have an ordered worship service because they feel comfortable there. And some people say, well, I don't believe there was an order in New Testament worship, so they join churches with no order. Some people believe it's right to take up an offering in a worship service. Some people believe it is not right. And they have boxes in the back of their worship services for people to drop in their tithes and offerings. Some people believe in 20-minute sermons and they look for a church with a 20-minute preacher. Some people believe in hour-and-a-half sermons and they look for those few churches where have hour-and-a-half sermons. Some people believe in singing choruses, Scripture choruses in a worship service and feel comfortable there. Others feel that the hymns of the faith have a sound theology and the psalms of the Old Testament made to music need to be sung. Some people go to churches with gymnasiums and some without gymnasiums. The list begins. The list of washing hands, of dressing a certain way, certain recreations, certain political positions that sometimes are added on to the life of a church as well as the Scripture. We must be careful. For the gospel of Jesus Christ and the laws of God that are written do not need fencing. In the Old Testament, people washed their garments before God came down to them at Sinai, and the priests bathed at the tabernacle before they served. But God did not demand ceremonial washings before every meal, and Jesus condemned the Pharisees for adding one law to Scripture. Jesus is talking about true worship in this passage. The worship of the heart, not the worship of externals, where one looks good and one looks holy, but the worship that comes from inside between the believer and his God. This is true worship, he said. One observation I've made over 24 years as a pastor is this. Most people complain about church life and church worship because they are looking for the church as an organization or as a worship service or as a body to fulfill in themselves something that only Jesus Christ can fulfill in them. Or because, as the Pharisees are in this passage, they are living disobediently to God's laws in some way. When people come into a church and they say, there's no joy here. You know what the real problem is? There's no joy there. Because we don't come to church to find joy from others. We come to worship God out of the joy of our hearts for the grace that we've received. Those folks aren't friendly there. We don't come to church to be given friends. We come to church to be a friend. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. People add lists to the scriptures in the way they look for churches, in the way they look at churches. Jesus says, here's true worship. A heart that is in love with the living God and seeks to live according to His commandments in sacrificial worship every day. But to wash your hands before every meal, that doesn't make any difference. I want us to see this morning, first of all, how Jesus answered the Pharisees at their criticism of His disciples. And secondly, I want us to draw a couple of applications for us in closing. The Pharisees said worship must be made according to the traditions of men. Do you know how quickly we form opinions about what a church should be or shouldn't be? What a worship service should be or shouldn't be? And the question is, are these opinions based on God's word or just our background or what we heard from someone? Or our own opinion. Look into the scriptures to see if these things are so. The Pharisees did not. They invented things. So Jesus said worship must be made according to God's truth. From a heart that is sincere and which loves God and is seeking to live for Him daily. And so He said in verse 2 and 3 of this chapter, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus answered them and said, and why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Do you see what was happening here? The Pharisees came and said, your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders. Not the word of God, but the traditions. Jesus said, oh yeah? Well, why do you transgress the commandments of God to keep your man-made traditions? What comes first? Of course, the commandments of God does. And in verses 4 through 6, He gave them the example He was talking about. For God said, and this is a commandment. Jesus goes to the commandments. This is the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. Now, boys and girls, these are the Old Testament laws. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. And some of the other laws that Moses gave was that if a child rose up in rebellion against his parents and struck them or cursed them, he was to be put to death as the judgment. Because it is a great sin to sin against your parents. And so Jesus brought out this commandment to the Pharisees. And then He said in verse 5, but you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God, that is, korban. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. The Pharisees had a way to get around helping their parents in old age. You see, it was understood in the Old Testament days and in the days of Jesus that when your parents got into old age and they could no longer work, or they had given their whole life supporting you and raising you and helping you financially, when they were old, it was the child's turn to help the parent, to take care of the parent financially or even nurse them physically unto death. That was understood. Well, the Pharisees did not want to give their personal money to help their parents in old age. And so they invented a tradition, a rule. If I have some extra money over here that could have been used to help my parents, I will just call that money korban, dedicated to God. That sounds religious. Dedicated to God. And so when my parents need some food or medicine or shelter, and they need my help, I'll just look at that money, and I'll say, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad, but I can't help you because this money is given to God. Then what do you think happened? Well, after their parents died, they would go down to the temple and they would remove the given to God, korban, and use the money for themselves. And so Jesus said to them, you disregard the commandment of God for your own tradition. How dare you accuse my disciples of transgressing your tradition? He called them hypocrites. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah say of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They look good on the outside. They dedicated their money to God, but their parents were over here suffering. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, because Paul has something to say about this truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we find, boys and girls, that the commandment, honor your father and mother, means your own personal father and mother, but it also means those who are older Christians, older men, older women. And it is also the commandment, boys and girls, where we get honor your teachers, because your parents have given you your teachers to teach you. And honor your father and mother means honor your policemen, because they are in authority over you. And it means honor your government officials as those who are in authority over you. All who are in a position of authority over you, honor your father and your mother. But especially your father and your mother. 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. That's what Jesus is dealing with here to the Pharisees. They did not want to honor the commandment of God. They did not want to show mercy to their father and mother. They wanted to keep their money for themselves. And how sad it is to me, over the years now, in many different situations, to see how money tears up family relationships. Jealousies and covetousness enter in, when we all need to understand that anything and everything we have is a gift to God, from God, to be used for kindness and mercy and benevolence toward those around us. Not greed and selfishness. But these Pharisees were greedy, and they found a way to disobey God's commandments to satisfy their greed. They could rationalize this. I know God's word says to live this way, but I really like this money, so I'll make a religious reason for disobeying the commandment. Do you know that there are people today that have said to me personally, God told me to leave my husband. God told me to leave my wife. When there was no adultery or desertion as grounds for divorce, according to the scripture. They just found something that they wanted to do against God's clear commands. And so they did it. Do you know that there are people who have come to me, young couples, to be married, especially when I was down in Florida? They say, will you marry me? I'll say, well, tell me about your situation. Well, we're living together here in this apartment. And I would say, well, don't you know God's commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery? And they'd say, well, yeah, but we love each other and we're going to get married. Neglect the commandment of God to follow your own tradition. We cannot manipulate God's commandments like this. True worship is loving God because of His mercies toward us in Christ and patterning our life daily after His commandments. That's what Jesus is trying to teach the Pharisees. The problem is in man's heart in verse 17. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Matthew 15:17 or 19. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. And then notice what Jesus does. He goes right down the Ten Commandments. He started with honor your father and mother in this whole passage. Now he says murders, that's the sixth commandment, adulteries and fornications, seventh, thefts, eighth, false witness, ninth, and slanders, tenth. He follows right through the Ten Commandments. And this is what he's trying to teach these Pharisees. You've got your focus on things that are unnecessary and unbiblical. Love me and keep my commandments. Build your life around God's truth. Do not try to make God's commandments fit your life and your lifestyle. Make your life and your lifestyle fit God's commandments. And do not make up rules that justify breaking what God has clearly commanded just because you want to. Martin Luther said, the Ten Commandments make a good sermon. They do. And they also make a good life. The Pharisees did not understand that. And they argued about man-made things that are secondary and unnecessary and molehills instead of mountains. There are so many things that even true believers argue about in churches or between churches that are entirely secondary and man-made traditions. Do you know it doesn't matter whether we have a printed bulletin or not in this service? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we sing three hymns or 15. It doesn't matter. What we have in the New Testament is a worship service is to consist of the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers, and the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to each other. But how we order it doesn't make that much difference. Or whether we order it or not doesn't make that much difference. But the Bible also says God is a God of order. And Paul wrote the whole letter of 1 Corinthians to bring order back into a chaotic worship service. So it's okay to have order. And it doesn't matter if you do it the same way every time or a different way every time, because what matters is the heart of the soul that is brought into worship. Pharisees did not understand that their relationship to God was what worship is. Not the washing of hands before you eat, but whether you love God and take care of your parents like the commandment says to do. Jesus said, "This is what my new covenant is. I will write my laws upon their mind, and upon their heart I will write them. And their lawless deeds I will remember no more." A life that has received unmerited, undeserved forgiveness and grace and has fallen in love with one who was willing to go to a tree to be nailed innocently and mocked and ridiculed, while the wrath of his loving Father was poured out upon himself for all the sins of ourselves that he carried. And he did it because he loved us. He loved us to the end. He loved us to death, and he loved us when he rose again. And he loves us now, and he rules heaven and earth for us now at the cost of his own life and death and resurrection. And all things are ours, and all things are for us. Surely such love and grace toward us, such kindness and forgiveness, moves our hearts to seek him and his commandments and do them. But the Pharisees didn't understand that. True worship is a heart that has fallen in love with the living God in Jesus Christ and doesn't consider his commandments as burdens, as negative thou shalt nots to keep us from fun and what we really want out of life, but sees them as manifestations of the nature of God, who is so concerned that children honor their parents and show them respect and love and obedience, that he would say to them, "Children, honor your father and mother." That comes from the heart of a good God to bring joy into a family life, that a father and mother in old age can see their children return to them and say, "Mama, Daddy, now I understand. You did everything for me, didn't you? Even though you made mistakes and even though you sinned against me at times, you did it for me, didn't you? Oh, please forgive me those times I had evil thoughts of you. And would you let me? Because God has been so good to me in Christ, would you let me? Would you let me serve you now?" That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does to a heart. And what would our country be like if it was filled with children who had found him as Savior and ministered to their parents that way? Do you think parents would perhaps turn to the Lord themselves? I think so. Do you think our country would be changed? I think so. Do you think the little children would learn from their parents how to treat their parents and their grandparents? I think so. Do you think order would be restored to the schools? I think so. Do you think order would be restored to society? I think so. Do you think there would be hope for America? I think so. And all through the blood of one that was shed upon the cross, who has the power to change the human heart from selfishness and self-centeredness to love. Oh, Jesus Christ wanted us to be worshipers of him. Worshipers of God from the heart. to fall in love with Him, and to keep His commandments. Worship is loving Jesus Christ enough to bring all of life to conformity to His commandments. So that when we do come together in a worship service, it is to glorify God for His grace, to give thanks to Him for His goodness in giving us a new heart that loves Him now when we used to hate Him and despise Him, and to seek to minister to these other people for whom Christ died, rather than be embittered by what we don't get out of it. In heaven, which is where we are destined for, the saints of God will see with an eye that sees Christ as He is. And they will understand, like a grown child begins to understand what his parents went through. We will understand then more of His grace and kindness and love to us than we ever understood on earth. And we will see that everything we went through on earth to pattern our lives according to His words and promises and commands was ultimately for our good. And it brought honor to Him as a Savior who is worthy of all adoration and praise for going so far as to give His own life for our souls and to transform our very hearts by His love. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man. But it's what proceeds out of the mouth. Because what proceeds out of the mouth comes out of the heart. I call you to come to Jesus Christ this morning. Not allow yourself to fall into the stream of the Pharisees, making little laws and opinions that are hard-bound and have no biblical basis. Becoming judgmental and critical of others that do not fall in line with your opinions and man-made traditions. And fall before the Son of God, who has mercy on sinners, and find your first bond with other believers at the foot of the cross. Quit making mountain out of molehills and molehills out of mountains. And love Him. And pattern your personal life according to His commandments. That's worship. And when you come into this place, it is to give praise to Him for all those times this past week you asked forgiveness and He said, I will. All those times this past week you cried out with tears, God, be merciful to me. And He was. All those times where you were confused this past week and did not know which way to turn, and He pointed you in the right way. So that when you come into this place, it is a place where we come to love Jesus Christ with our hearts and our songs and our voices. And we go forth to keep His commandments this next week. Such grace, such kindness, such forgiveness at the cost of His blood deserves no less but to wash with unclean hands. Doesn't matter. Let us pray.